Please turn back to Leviticus chapter 19. And this morning our meditation will focus on just one verse in that chapter, Leviticus chapter 19. As it is said in Psalm 139, we are fearfully and wonderfully made creatures. We are, as human beings, the most exalted earthly creatures that exist. We are capable of communion with God. The most amazing thing about us is not in our physical being, though there are many amazing things about us, as with the other creatures that God has made, but we were made with souls that are capable of communion with God. We are able to receive and understand communications from God, and we are able to speak to the living God the thoughts and the desires of our heart. So that some of the most wonderful parts of your being have to do with the instruments in your body that are used for communication, speech, and hearing. None is so amazing as the tongue itself. We are equipped with a tongue to approach the Most High God with praise, so that with a tongue we can verbalize love for the Almighty and communicate it to Him. But no less is our tongue an instrument that enables us to have a level of fellowship with human beings that is incapable, that other creatures of the world are incapable of. When Adam had all of the creatures brought to him by God, God said it was not good for man to be alone. There still was not a help suited for Adam, because Adam could not communicate. He could not communicate from his soul to the souls of the creatures that God had made. So God made a woman. And with other human beings, there is this capability of spiritual heart communication. The tongue of man is made in order to do good and to communicate and to show love to our neighbors just as much as it was made to show love to God first. Now, of course, we know from the Scripture that the fall came, the fall of man into sin. And by the fall, our entire beings were corrupted, and nothing was more corrupted than the organ of communication that we have. The Bible constantly speaks of ears that do not hear, and hearts that do not understand, and eyes that do not see, and mouths that are corrupted. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 3, the focus of attention on the depravity of man is on the sin of the tongue. Romans 3:13 and 14, their throats are an open sepulcher. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of asps, of snakes, is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. And James in chapter 3 says of the tongue in particular that the tongue is less tameable than all of the wild beasts of the forest and of the jungle. It is easier to tame any wild creature in this world than it is to tame the tongue of a man. He says, the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. He reminds us of small things that do great things, like the rudder of a ship that's very small, but it turns an enormous ship and steers it where it ought to go. So he says, the little fire of the tongue kindles great fires. And he says that the tongue is set on fire by hell, the depraved, the fallen tongue of man. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the tongue as if it is the spigot of the heart. All of the wickedness of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's like the spigot through which all of the depravity of man flows. We need pardon for the sins of the tongue through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit for our tongues in particular, in order that these tongues would be made organs of grace and not the chief reason for our disgrace in the world. And this morning we're going to examine only one abuse of the tongue, one ugly sin. It was a sin that was taught us by the devil. It is a sin that needs pardoning by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a persistent habit. The sin that we're going to look at from Leviticus chapter 19, it's like the dandelion in your yard. It is always ready to spring up. You know that when you try to keep the noxious weeds down in your lawn, you have to keep after them. And the moment you stop, it doesn't matter for how many years you've kept your garden, your lawn, your household yard free of weeds, the moment you stop tending them, they spring up again. And so is this sin. As we look at this sin today, I pray that you would ask the Lord for grace to overcome it and give attention to this very matter and resolve to discipline yourself and cry out for the power of the Holy Spirit that you may do less of this particular sin. The sin that we're going to look at is in verse 16. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Now, the Hebrew language is very picturesque, and the words "do not go about" really have the idea of someone who goes up and down the streets, like the peddler, like the person who's selling vacuum cleaners. He goes from door to door and he knocks. He's up and down the streets, up this way, down that way, all across town. Do not be a person who is always traveling around like a peddler, but what you have to peddle is not the sale of magazines or something like that, but slander. Do not go around with slander. Slander is an injury done to a person's reputation. Slander is maligning the character of someone else. It is speaking ill of another human being. It is running him down in the eyes of other people. That's what slander is. Exposing him to contempt or hatred or even ridicule in the eyes of other human beings. Now, of course, this can be done, can't it, by telling lies, by false reports about other people. But defamation of character can also occur by repeating what is true when it isn't necessary to repeat what is true. Let me ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 20 for just a moment. We're going to flip to the book of Proverbs a number of times to see how it speaks of this matter of slander. But in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19, Proverbs 20 and verse 19, we read, "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much." Now the word for gossip, a gossip, is exactly the same word as is used in Leviticus 19 of slander. Don't go around slandering a person. Same word, a gossip, a slanderer. And what does a slanderer do according to this verse? It's not that he's telling a falsehood, but he's revealing something that ought to be kept secret. He is revealing a confidence. So the business of a talebearer or a slanderer is uncovering shocking and disturbing things about other people and then going around and telling other people about them. And the idea that we're given from Leviticus 19 is that such people are very busy. They're going around in their work. They're disclosing unflattering information. Now that can be masked by the show, at least the appearance of concern for other people. And you know, in the Christian community, that can be done by asking other people to pray for so-and-so because he has done this or he is in this trouble. You can have the mask of being concerned when what you're doing is spreading information that tears down another person's character. It may be embellished with exaggeration. It may be embellished with emotional sense of shock. Do you know what so-and-so has done? That makes it look all the worse because of the emotion with which it is communicated. It may be mixed with non-truth and a seed of truth, or it may be just truth that is told right out in a very plain and forthright manner with no embellishment, but it still injures your neighbor. by communicating the information. The unnecessary expose of secrets, of confidences, of information, which make another person look bad. Now, sometimes it is necessary. We're not little children. You know, little children who are going through school go through that stage where they think, oh, you must never, ever tell on anyone else no matter what he does. I hope you're more mature than that. There are times when it's necessary to tell those who are in authority for the well-being of the person and for the well-being of other people. It is necessary in a Sunday school class to expose the chicanery of a person like Joseph Smith in order to save people from the perverted teachings of such a prophet. There are times, but when there are exposés that are unnecessary and only injure another person, this is slander, this is gossip, this is tale-bearing. It is the thing that is forbidden here. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Our text strictly forbids the practice, as do many texts, and you know. I'm sure if you are honest in your heart, you know that none of us here, none of us, is completely free from having done this at one time or another. We have all fallen into this sin. But our hearts should be devoted to protecting the reputation of our neighbors, and especially brothers and sisters in Christ, doing all we can to protect their reputation. If we love them, if we are interested in their affairs and not our own only, then we will avoid saying anything that will harm their reputation. I want you to meditate more on that commandment. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. As we think of the evil results of slander or gossip or tale-bearing, just talking about other people in a way that leaves bad impressions of them. First of all, if you bear tales in this way about other people, it ruins your ability to be a true friend. And I want you to look in Proverbs again, Proverbs 11. I'm going to look at a couple of verses that indicate this. If you slander other people, it ruins your ability to be a true friend. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. A person who goes around chattering and telling all he knows about other people is not trustworthy. He is not trustworthy. He cannot be trusted as a friend. And the verse that we read earlier in Proverbs chapter 20 indicates that you ought to stay away from such people. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Avoid him. Do not make friends with him, is the advice of Scripture. One of the great values of having a close friend, a trusted friend, is that you can bare your heart to him. You can lay your heart bare in good times and evil times and trust him to care about your well-being and your interests. To keep secrets is part of that trust. The ability to rely on that person, that he will not misuse the information you give him to harm you. A babbling tongue which recounts all that it knows cannot be trusted. And even if no harm is intended by repeating all that is known, even if there was no malice in the heart, the person who talks too much is not to be trusted as a friend. I have known, and perhaps you have known, of people in Christian churches who were fine Christians in other ways, who never had close and long-lasting friends for this very reason. They talked too much about other people. And as people began to get close to them as friends, they backed off again. They saw the danger and they followed the advice of Scripture, and they should have backed away from them. A person who talks too much, stay away from him. You don't want him to be a friend. It's not wise to have too many confidants, and you must choose wisely. A good gauge Is this a person that I can trust by telling him the concerns of my heart? A good gauge of that is, does he talk to me unnecessarily about other people? Does he reveal to me secrets about other people? If he does, that does not mean that he is a good friend and one that I can bear my heart to, but one I ought to stay away from. Gossip ruins your ability to be a true friend. Slander ruins the friendship of other people. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. I think that chapter 27 is somewhat related to 28. The thought carries over more particularly to the tongue, though 27 is far more general. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A gossip separates close friends. He digs up evil information, and he sows dissension among friends. He's very busy, like the farmer. He's got a lot of work to do. What's he doing? He's going around gathering it, digging up information, and then sowing it among other people. Very busy, but very damaging to the friendships of other people. Look in chapter 17 of Proverbs in verse 9. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Repeating even unpleasant truths. We're talking about repeating the truth about other people. Unpleasant things, but the truth. Lowers him in the esteem of other people. Perhaps a friendship was forming between two people, and then a word was spoken to one about the other, and the relationship is forever damaged. You find illustrations in the Bible. There are certainly illustrations from the life of our congregation and from each of our lives that might illustrate this. But you remember David and his great love for his bosom friend Jonathan. After Jonathan had died, David wanted to do anything he could for the sons of Jonathan, and so he found just one man that he could do good to, and that was Mephibosheth. And David began forming a close relation with Mephibosheth, but an interruption came in that whole relationship because Absalom rebelled against his father. And as David was leaving Jerusalem, a man named Ziba, who was the servant of Mephibosheth, came to David and gave an evil report of Mephibosheth. And from that day on, David was never sure whether he could trust the man or not. It separated between friends. An evil report. Whether it was true, whether it was false, the Bible doesn't even tell us. My suspicion is that Ziba was very cunning and was speaking a half-truth to David in order to gain an advantage with the king. That's my suspicion. But the Bible doesn't even tell us whether the report of Ziba was true or not. But David's trust for Mephibosheth was forever damaged. Then how often does general talk touch matters that have to do with the business of other people and we don't even know it? You are talking about someone else to someone. And suddenly, you touch upon a matter that has to do with the business of the person you're talking to, but you don't know it. Because that business relates to the factors of another man that you're speaking about. It separates between friends. Gossip incapacitates you from being a true friend. It separates between other friends, and it creates and maintains quarrels. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 20 to 22. Gossip, evil reports, even if they're true, create and maintain quarrels. Verse 20 of Proverbs 26, without wood a fire goes out. We all know that. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. I think sometimes these verses ought to be written over the doorway of the offices of the newspapers. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is the quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. So delicious, but they go down into a man's innermost parts. Gossip creates and maintains quarrels. A slanderer is like an incendiary, walking down the street, throwing Molotov cocktails in every direction, and the fire will catch somewhere. Even truth, wrongly stated, creates and fuels angry quarrels amongst people. Have you never seen it happen that a sin has been committed by one brother or sister in the Church of Christ against another? And the two follow the biblical instruction for what brothers or sisters ought to do. They meet one another face to face, they settle the issue, they pray about it, and it's all over, but somebody happened to see it happen. Somebody observed what happened, and they talked to someone else about it, and then the talk begins to go around in the congregation, and other people hear, everybody's talking about it. What happens? The two people who thought that the issue was solved begin to suspect that the other one is talking about it, when it's really a third person with his gossip. And the fight flares up again, and the opposition and the anger between two people is fed. One of the things we read of in the Scripture, there are seven things that God hates. God absolutely loathes seven things. They're listed in Proverbs. And one of them is the person who sows discord among the brethren. How do you sow discord among the brethren? Just by repeating unnecessarily harmful information about other people. And then from this 22nd verse in Proverbs 26, there's another matter, and that is that gossip causes wounds that are not easily healed. It goes down to a man's inmost parts. You find the same thing repeated in Proverbs 18 and verse 8. It really hurts when someone discovers that you have spoken ill of him. It really hurts more than sticks and stones, far more than sticks and stones. As a matter of fact, sometimes when little boys have a fist fight, it's over and done with very quickly. But when little children say things about one another behind their backs, that goes deep and the wound is not easily healed. So it is with adults as well as with young people. Injured bodies heal more quickly than injured souls. And so our text says in Proverbs, or in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 20, You shall not go about spreading slander among your people. These are some of the reasons why slander, gossip, is so harmful. But then let us think for a few moments about the contributing circumstances to slander or gossip. All of us have enough evil still in our hearts to fall into this sin. But there are some circumstances in life, and there are some circumstances in personality, which draw the sin out of us. What are the things that help to lead us into this sin of gossip, of slander, of harming the reputation of other people in our talk? The first one suggested is idleness. In Proverbs 19 and verse 16, it speaks of people going about. They have plenty of time to go here and there and to spread their stories amongst people. They're very busy with the work. And one of the reasons they are so busy at this work is that they have no other work to do. They are not busy at their calling. They become busy bodies, as the Scripture calls them. A busy body is someone who is very busy sticking his nose into the business of other people and repeating it here, there, and everywhere. And he is very busy with other people's bodies because he's not busy with the body of his own work. Unemployed hours, much leisure, contributes to this sin. In 1 Timothy 5, verses 11 to 13, you might read that sometime. It speaks about young women in particular. In the church, in the early church, apparently, older widows were employed in going about and teaching younger women within the church. They were employed in spiritual ministry and activity within the church and supported by the church when they were destitute. However, the advice is given by Paul, don't take young women and put them in this position, or they are liable to flit from house to house and speak about things that are not spiritual and become busybodies because they are not busy enough. I prefer then, says Paul, that the young women marry and bear children and become wives and mothers and have plenty of work to do. Hard work, hours filled with useful employment, keep a person from gossip and slander. Being in too many houses, being here and there and everywhere, is another thing that tempts to this sin of gossip and slander. Social consciousness can be a blessing if it leads you to serve other people, but not if it leads you to chatter with everyone. And the telephone is not an unmixed blessing, is it? It allows you immediately to go from this home to that home to the other home and to be here with this person and that person and another person. On the telephone, it's so easy to talk about other people, third parties, fourth parties, people who are not there on the phone with you. Being in too many homes can contribute to gossip and to slander. A tendency to concentrate on the negative in life can contribute to slander and gossip. The sense of drama, the importance of a crisis in an individual's life, in society, in the news, in the world. What's so attractive about the soap operas? There's always a crisis going on. There's always drama. It's so important to be in the midst of something horrible that's happening, isn't it? Let me ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Did you ever see a soap opera that was made of something like that? It'd be off the air in minutes, wouldn't it? Forge your conversations about other people on the basis of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And the negative things, do not concentrate upon them and do not make them the bent of your speech to third parties. Never mind spreading the good news, but be very careful about speaking the negative things. We could add to this other things, the desire to be the first one with the news, the desire to be the person who's in the know, could easily lead to spreading information about others that is not for their well-being. Let me suggest from Leviticus chapter 19 some alternatives to gossip and slander. Verse 17 provides us with one. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Verse 17, rebuke your neighbor frankly. So now there's a way to use your tongue that's not slander and not gossip. If you are so shocked at what you have seen in a neighbor, go and speak to him frankly. If you are horrified by what you have heard about a neighbor, go and speak to him frankly. If you are deeply concerned about someone, don't counsel with 10 people to find out what their advice would be. Go and speak to them frankly. Matthew 18 and verse 15, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. Just between the two of you. Between you and him alone. That is the emphasis, Old Testament and New Testament. Put your tongue to the noble use of telling him his fault and seeking to recover him, instead of spreading tales that are to his injury. The same tongue that can reproach a brother in the ears of someone else can also approach the throne of God. Your tongue can be employed in prayer. And you don't need to issue prayer requests church-wide. If God has brought something to your attention that needs prayer in the life of your sister, your brother, then pray. Then pray. The discipline of silence. We all need more of that. James 3 and verse 2, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. That's why we all have to say this sin happens to all of us, doesn't it? If any man does not offend with his tongue, you can be sure he's a perfect man. He's able to bridle the whole body. If he can bridle the tongue, he can bridle every other member of the body. Discipline yourself to silence, even with your husband, your wife, now and then. Why? Protecting the reputation of someone that you both know. You don't have to repeat everything. There's no purpose to repeating all of the evil things that we learn of one another. The closer we get, the more we know each other's faults and flaws, and they don't need to be repeated. The most difficult member of the body to rein in is the tongue. Let's be honest then before God. We all have injured the reputations of one another by gossip, by idle chatter, by saying things about other people that is harmful to them, by whispering, you know, the lowered voice. Now this is just between the two of us. Dangerous sign, isn't it? It has to be just between the two of us, then maybe it shouldn't be said at all. By passing on true and unkind reports unnecessarily, our tongues still have poison within them. Do not go about spreading stories about others. Have you thought, parents, adults, about children in this regard? Sometimes little children are so humble you can say anything about them and they don't care. There's a beauty to little pre-adolescents who aren't ambitious for their own reputation. But have you thought about children who begin to become aware of it just before the teenage years and through the teenage years? Be careful how you speak of them. They care deeply about their reputation. And they don't like to be mocked or put down. Children, have you thought about this? How you talk about your teachers? Do you know it is possible to slander a teacher? To leave a teacher with a reputation in the eyes of other children that is unjust? It is harmful to the teacher. One of the fruits of the Spirit is goodness. We don't speak of that fruit of the Spirit too often. Goodness. Always doing good to other people. We say the Lord is good. What do we mean by that? He's good to me every day. He does so many good things for me. Everything God does is for my good. Everything in the world is controlled for my good as a Christian. We ought to be good to other people and have the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. And that goodness ought to sit on the edge of our tongues, to do good to one another with our speech all the days of our life. Well, brethren, I urge you to confess sins of this kind. And if, in reading a passage like this, do not go about spreading slander or gossip among your people, if you are convicted in your heart, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ died to forgive this kind of sin. And remember that he was victimized on Calvary by this very sin. Just think through the sin of slander. And what it did to Christ on Calvary, the whole of the crucifixion is put in its perspective by the slander. The reports that were brought against Christ. He said he would build the temple in 3 days. He said he was equal to God. Well, these things were true, weren't they? But the way and the context in which they were spoken were to assault him and attack him and injure him. And the people laughed at him and mocked him on Calvary. He was put to death by this sin of gossip and slander and evil and false reports. True reports put in a false light. But the Lord Jesus Christ can and does purge this sin. And He does give the Holy Spirit to those who come to Him sincerely. You see, in order to have the pardon of Christ, we must confess and forsake the sin. Of course, the tongue that is so used to chattering says, well, how can I change on this matter? He gives His Holy Spirit to sanctify our words and our lives. Are you convicted of jabbering too much about other people? It's a sin that is worthy of God's condemnation. It is a sin that was visited upon Christ on Calvary, a sin for which God's wrath fell upon Christ on Calvary, so that those who confess it to Him and forsake it may have grace. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word being so very practical. And we know that a text like Leviticus 19 and verse 16 touches every human being that's in this place. And our Father, we have injured one another with our words. Set a watch before our lips. Post a sentinel in front of our tongues, that our words may do good and not harm, especially to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, but to all of our neighbors. And Father, if You give us the grace to harness this member, then we will be a disciplined people indeed. And we pray that You would do it for the praise of Your name in the earth, through Christ our Lord. Amen.